TD's a good, he's a solid goalie. I'll give him that. But his, I mean, his, it's, there's no form at all. It's just all like, just try to get something on the ball.
Right.
No, but I'm going to go and say I dominate that matchup.
Welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Every week we'll be talking shop with lacrosse goalies, coaches, and special guests. This is the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Now your host, Coach Damon Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, goalies from around the world, welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Damon. This is the show where we talk about nothing else besides lacrosse goalie. Hopefully, with each guest, with each episode, you learn a thing or two about the mental game, about technique, about the recruiting process, about college life and lacrosse that you can take into your own game, that you can use into your own game. I know I certainly do. My guest on the show this week is Cornell goalie Chase Ireland. I interviewed Chase right after the national championship where, unfortunately, Cornell was taken down by Maryland in a great game. We talk about that game. We talk about his decision to go to Cornell. We talk about him playing with his brother, TD. Lots of great topics we hit on in this episode. I know you're going to enjoy this one. So, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy my conversation with Cornell goalie Chase Ireland. Last week, we wrapped up the Lacrosse Goalie Summit 7. And if you missed it, I got to say this, it was electrifying. 5 days of nonstop content about every corner of the lacrosse goalie universe. We covered things like the proper save techniques for more consistency, building that bulletproof mindset and that mental game, simple hacks to win games, recruiting tips to get into a great college. We talked about school and life balance. We talked about how to communicate with your defenders. We talked about awesome tips and drills to help you clear the ball. And drills. We covered so many drills and really everything in between. A lot of lacrosse goalie moms and dads said this. This was from Heather Hagen. She said, "My 2027 son, Jace, is participating in the summit. And wow, just wow. The amount of info slash knowledge him and I have gained is incredible. Every goalie should go through this." 100% agree, Heather and Jace. That's exactly why I brought 20 of the best goalie coaches in the world together for this amazing event. If you missed out on it, you can still grab the VIP pass. LaxGoalieRat.com/VIP. That gives you lifetime access to all of the videos. You've got a slim window of opportunity to grab that VIP pass. It's going to go up in price soon. Here's what one goalie mom told me over the weekend. She said, "My daughter, 2025, was away at camp during the summit, so I purchased the VIP pass, and she's watching the sessions now that she's back in town. Just wanted to let you know how incredibly helpful all these sessions have been to me as a parent, and I know they will be even more valuable to her in the goal." She's starting with the summer tournament prep video, getting ready for her tourney this weekend in Chattanooga. That was Tim Cassie. He did a tips for summer tournaments for goalies and parents. Amazing session. You can download all those videos if you get the VIP pass. Watch them on the car. Watch them on the plane ride. It's awesome stuff. Once again, grab that VIP pass, available for a limited time. LaxGoalieRat.com/VIP. I guarantee you the best value you're going to get for lacrosse goalie coaching. LaxGoalieRat.com/VIP. Pleasure to welcome to the show. It's Cornell starting goalie. We just saw him in the national championship game, Chase Ireland. Chase, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Good to be here.
Yeah, well, this is going to be tons of fun, my man. I can't wait to chat lacrosse goalie here for the next hour or so. Going back to the beginning, though, you remember the very first time you jumped into goal and made a save?
Yeah, I mean, that had to have been early on in my lacrosse career. Probably, you know, started playing 5 or 6 years old, just out in the front yard. And, you know, gradually as I played, you know, other sports, I was a big hockey goalie for a while. And so, I believe I was a hockey goalie before I was a lacrosse goalie, and, you know, probably about 8 or 9 years old, and, you know, everybody takes their turn playing in the net. And so, I think just was my turn to go, and you know, I knew I had a little bit of a hockey goalie background. Always enjoyed, you know, the specialist position and looking at the guys with all the pads. And then, yeah, I guess it just had some success and enjoyed it, made some saves and kind of the rest is history.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you're an ice hockey goalie. And you mentioned, I always enjoyed the pads, which is ironic because as lacrosse goalies, we don't wear as many pads. Yeah. I'm curious, when you jump into goal in lacrosse and the first time coming from that ice hockey background, was in the back of your mind, are you thinking like, where's the rest of my padding?
Yeah, no, definitely. It's I mean, my mom always gets on me about, you know, she just doesn't understand that, you know, hockey goalies can wear all the equipment and indoor goalies can wear all the equipment. Why are you just out there with no shin pads, no nothing on? And it's hard to explain, but I guess it was a bit of a surprise and, or not a surprise, but just an adjustment. I guess it's kind of, more freeing, less weighing you down and kind of makes me think I'm quicker. So, I enjoy the transition for sure.
Interesting. Yeah. Now there's usually as lacrosse goalies, when you first start out, I know myself, like you're a little bit afraid of that ball, right? Someone takes a shot and like as a kid and even, I mean, let's be honest, as a high school, I mean, probably even at Cornell, sometimes you get a little scared of it, right? Just because it's a 99 mile an hour missile coming your way. Now, did you experience that or was your background at ice hockey? I mean, were you just, you know, ready for projectiles coming your way?
Yeah. No, I think, I mean, that's always going to be a natural thing at goalies at any age. I mean, if someone's throwing something at you 100 plus miles an hour, like, you know, it's your body's natural instincts to maybe flinch or blink or, you know, hesitate a little bit. But the cool thing is, you know, the more you play and, you know, regardless of what sport, hockey, lacrosse, and the more shots you see, you know, you gradually, you kind of realize there's, you know, it might hurt a little bit, might give you a bruise, but there's nothing, you know, that's going to affect you long-term really, you know? And so I think that's a thing that as I've gotten older and, you know, grew up and played a little bit longer, just to have fun with it, take a deep breath and relax. Cause you know, when you're relaxed, in my opinion, you make more saves with your stick, and less body saves. So, I think that definitely helps knowing that, you know what, it's all right if it hits you, as long as it doesn't go in the net.
Yeah. Yeah. And it helps if you've got this team culture where they really pump up the goalie and they pump up those saves and like then you get hit and you're like, yes, that was a save. And you're feeling those positive emotions from the team. If you don't have that and you get hit and you're just like, oh man, what am I doing? You know, like that one really hurt. And for what? So yeah, as much as you can, as a coach, if you're listening to this, promote that kind of culture, it helps the goalies out a ton. Wouldn't you agree, Chase?
Yeah, definitely. I think a cool thing about specifically at Cornell is you know, I like to brag about my defensemen and I think we do a great job of everyone, you know, sacrificing their bodies on the line. And, you know, there's some great pitchers and out there from games throughout this year and in the last couple of years of just, you know, Cornell lacrosse defenders selling out, diving in front of shots. And that's something we preach is, you know, just keep the ball out of the net, whatever it takes. And so I think it's cool in my perspective when I'm sitting back there and I see all my teammates running in front of the ball. You know, I can stand in there and play more confidently for those guys.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool to hear. So you jump in, you know, at the very young age, and I guess maybe make a few saves, have some success. But how do you go about learning, you know, how to make saves, learning this position?
Yeah. And I think, a lot of that is just learning to play the game overall. You know, for most of my career, I played both attack and goalie and, you know, my first full year of just goalie was probably eighth grade, I'd say. I played, you know, attack half the games, you know, in the summertime or half of the games and then goalie the other half, or, you know, sometimes I just play attack. And I think, you know, playing outside of the net and learning all different types of the game is something that all younger goalies specifically, and, you know, even those middle schoolers can, definitely benefit from, you know, just experiencing different game situations and different positions, helped me, you know, kind of learn maybe the psychology of the shooter. And I think therefore, you know, help me when I'm in that, hey, this is probably, you know, a good shot for them, bad shot for them. What are they thinking in this position? You know, I think that's kind of where my development of goalie was, you know, benefited, just playing, having fun playing the game. And yeah.
And not only that, I mean, what you said is 100% true, but not only that, you get the stick skills, which I think, you know, I think there's a huge correlation in a goalie's stick skills and their save ability, because at the end of the day, we're just catching really fast passes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And that same motion that you would make to, like, someone throws an errant pass and you're getting ready to catch it, like the same kind of motion you'd make to catch it is the save motion. And so at the end of the day, like, the stick skills help tremendously.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that's a huge thing is, you know, it's not always fun to go out there and just get drilled with shots in practice, or on your own time. It can be tough to find people to shoot on you. But there's always going to be a wall, you know, there's always going to be a place where you can throw the ball hard, soft, you know, to different directions and work on your stick skills and your hand eye.
Yeah. Love it. I had this one Instagram post where I said, I think people become lacrosse goalies for one of three reasons. And one of them is just the team needed a goalie. And the other is, I don't like to run. And the third is I have an older sibling who wants to shoot on me. It doesn't sound like, I thought you were going to say you were number three with your older brother.
I mean, honestly, that played a factor in it for sure. You know, vice versa, you know, he'd throw on the goalie gear and I'd shoot on him and, you know, he'd shoot on me. But, you know, I think it was just a combination of all three really, and kind of a perfect storm of, you know, everyone, you know, I think a lot of people's early goalie experiences, you know, everyone gets a chance to play goalie and, everyone passes the stick around and then, you know, it does help having an older brother that, you know, not just to shoot on me, but to play, grow up playing lacrosse with. And, you know, like I said a little bit earlier, just play the game and have fun with it and just experience it. So
that's awesome.
I think that whole combination definitely helped.
That's awesome. So if you're going to go like best out of 10, you took 10 shots on him and then he took 10 shots on you. I think you would dominate, right?
Yeah, no, I'm scoring. I mean, in the summer times I play attack just in our men's league here and just have some fun and get out of the net for a little bit. But no, you know, TD's a good, he's a solid goalie. I'll give him that. But there's no form at all. It's just all like, just try to get something on the ball.
Right.
No, but I'm going to go and say I dominate that matchup.
Yeah. Yeah. You can see it like when attack guys jump in and they're like good lacrosse players, but they've never played goalie. Like they've got it. Like they've seen goalies play, so they can get in a somewhat athletic stance. But a lot of the times, like because their body is not trained to go at the ball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they kind of like their body moves away, like as their hands move towards the ball.
That's
kind of funny. 100%. Yeah. I bet he would take you though in a best out of 10 face-offs, huh?
Yeah. No, 100%. Yeah. I don't think I'm getting down for those and scrapping for those loose balls. I think I might just maybe get a long pole in my hand and whack them a little bit.
There you go. There you go. Well, cool. So growing up, you grew up in New York. Yeah. Like was there some specific camps that you attended, some specific goalie coaches that kind of helped you along the way, or what was kind of the progression in your early years?
Yeah. So I'm, you know, from upstate New York, Rochester and, you know, obviously lacrosse, hotbed of the country. And, you know, so there's always, you know, games and practices and camps, clinics to go to. Just being from the area, I was very blessed to have that growing up. And, you know, I think a lot of it helps with my dad, being a coach. He's a high school football coach all his life. And then as we transitioned into lacrosse and hockey and, you know, all the sports we played, he, you know, he always wanted to coach us. And I was truly grateful for that. He was definitely, you know, not just in lacrosse, but in hockey as well, you know, a great goalie coach to me and just learned everything he could about the position. You know, and then I had some good older goalies that I could look up to in the area, like Blaze Reardon. I remember going to his high school games and just growing up, having him as an influence was really awesome. Cause you know, there was a guy right there who, you know, kind of paved the way, so to speak, and, you know, did all the things that I wanted to do in lacrosse. So I was like, hey, there's a guy right there in the backyard that, you know, played at the highest levels of college, highest level of pro lacrosse and is, you know, goalie of the year, best player in the world. And so, it's really cool to have that him, you know, being a couple years older, but, just right around the corner and, you know, just, I think it was a combination of good youth coaches too. Not just goalie coaches, but, you know, in general, I think our youth lacrosse programs in this area have helped me develop and kind of, you know, just planted the seed really for the rest of my career.
That's awesome. What a resource. Blaze is amazing. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, best lacrosse player out there right now, like, you know, MVP last year and goalie the year before Definitely. That and just amazing. And just a great lacrosse guy too. I mean, he puts on tons of clinics and camps and really spreads the love, not only of the goalie position, but just for the sport in general. So Blaze is amazing. That's an amazing resource. Very cool. Very cool. I was going to ask, and my dad coached actually my teams as well. So it sounds like we're similar there. And I love that. It was so cool. Like, I probably didn't appreciate it as much at the time than I do like later on in life, but like I'd be playing, you know, I played basketball growing up and he didn't really play much basketball, organized basketball, and he was coaching the teams. Right. And so he would just read a book and just do, you know, be out there. And it was such a positive influence. And it sounds like, you know, your dad was the same, maybe a little more educated in the sport, which is really cool.
Yeah, no, he's awesome. You know, it's funny cause it, you know, he's like coach dad. So, you know, growing up and you listen to him and, you know, once it's different when we get on the field and stuff like that, you know, he's hard on you and he'll get on you, but, you know, he'll be the same one to pick you up and commend you on stuff you're doing right. And, you know, I think it's funny too, how our relationship continued that way. He still coaches. He's actually got the, state semifinals. He coaches at Fairport, which is right down the road, and, they're playing the state semifinals, this afternoon. So, nice. But you know, still helping out and you know, it's cool to see him continue to try and, coach and give advice. You know, I'll be on the phone with him, you know, for 20, 30 minutes before every game, or the night before. And, you know, he'll try to talk about matchups and stuff for tomorrow. And I'm like, you know, dad, I appreciate it, but you know, we've been doing this all week. Like, thank you. But you know, our coaches get, you know, kind of got a good rap on things right now. So, it's awesome. It's a cool relationship. And, it's, you know, there's always a guy there and, he's always there to give you some criticism, but also to pump your tires a little bit.
That's cool. Are there any, lessons that he has sort of, that he tells you over and over or sort of try to instill in you, either as a lacrosse goalie, ice hockey goalie, any lessons that kind of come to mind?
Yeah. The biggest one is, just our phrase we have is get on and get over. You know, goal's going to go in. You just got to get on, move past it and move forward. You can't, you know, there's nothing you can do about it now, whether it was your fault or the defense's fault or, you know, a bad goal, a good goal, it doesn't matter. It's in the past. And, you know, I think it's a lot of times and, you know, that can be discouraging for youth goalies or goalies of any age is, you know, letting the ball in. It stinks and no one wants to do it, but, you know, it's inevitably part of the game. And I think that's, you know, where you just take a deep breath and just reset and really try to flush it, you know, and move on. And there's going to be more shots on that. And so if you keep living in the past, it's just going to affect your ability to make the next save. So
totally. Yeah. It's such a common theme on this show and it's so important. I mean, it's a cliche, like that next shot mentality, it's a cliche for a reason because it's so important. It's so important. And even, I wrote a little article, even in like in the women's game, I don't know if you watch much women's lacrosse, but Taylor Moreno is one of the better women's goalies. She had a horrible game, got pulled, right? Like three saves the whole game, comes back and makes a save with 15 seconds left, wins the game and they go to the finals. So it's like, sometimes all your team needs you for is that one save.
It's just one to change the momentum of the game. You know, you could have one save, but like you said, you know, it could be the difference between winning and losing. I think that's the really cool part of our position. Mm-hmm. And there's not many positions that might have that impact, you know, it could be the only one arguably. So it's definitely a bittersweet thing to know that, hey, the game's kind of in your space. If you know, you just play cool and relaxed and have fun out there.
Yeah. Love it. It's awesome. Great lesson. And a lot of, you know, a lot of young lacrosse goalies, like their dads never played goalie or let alone lacrosse. Like the growth of the sport is such that it's so awesome that like a lot of parents haven't even played, but I would say, you know, your parents have a lot of wisdom. So if you're a young lacrosse goalie, like don't discount their advice strictly because they didn't play. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think that's, you know, a lot of, you know, I've had high school coaches that didn't play at all or you know, and I think that's the thing about sometimes that, like you said, like you can kind of put it off because, you know, they might not have played your position. You know, my goalie coach this year at Cornell, Coach Sean Chiron, he didn't play lacrosse goalie, but he's just the wisdom and, you know, the level-headedness and kind of the relaxed approach he brought, you know, was a huge thing for me. And it's something to be said that, you know, it just because you don't play something or might not have firsthand experience, you know, that's not to say that, that your advice isn't needed or warranted or anything.
Totally. Especially because it's so difficult to coach yourself, in any sport, but really as a lacrosse goalie, like, I mean, you see, you know, just someone from a third party perspective can have such a different view on like the technical piece, or someone from just like totally removed from the game can give you this piece of mental advice that, like, you know, that, that really hits home. So it's, so, get those coaches in your life, I think is a good piece of advice. So you end up playing a lot of sports in college, not college, in high school. I think I read, it says you earned 5 varsity letters at Victor High School. I don't even know how that's possible. What? Yeah.
No. So I actually started playing varsity hockey. I played football up until my freshman year. And then, as my travel hockey career got more and more intense, I kind of had to choose one or the other. And for much of my athletic career, I wanted to play hockey in college. Mm-hmm. And you know, lacrosse was always, I always loved playing lacrosse, and it was kind of like a 1A, 1B type deal with lacrosse and hockey. It's just sometimes the hockey route to college is a little bit longer and prep school's involved. So once I realized that, I didn't really want to do that too much and maybe go to prep school or take a post-grad year and try to just play lacrosse right out of high school. And luckily, you know, Cornell came and, but going back to the varsity sports, just, I played hockey, you know, since seventh grade for our varsity team. And then for, my freshman year is when I started playing lacrosse. So, that's where the kind of the varsity letters come in, just kind of years, you played.
Got it. Awesome. It sounds like it might've been maybe not a difficult decision, choosing between lacrosse and hockey, but it sounds like, you know, you saw the writing on the wall, like hockey, more difficult path to get where I want to get. Am I getting that right?
Yeah. It was tough because, I had a really, you know, awesome high school, you know, hockey experience and lacrosse experience as well. You know, I had tremendous coaches and, for hockey with Mike Ferrari and then, Jim Andre for lacrosse. And, you know, I really wanted to stay back and just play high school hockey with my friends. Really, that's what it came down to. And kind of the path I was going on for hockey was going to take me, you know, elsewhere and move away at a young age. And you know, that's the sacrifice that a lot of young hockey players have to make is, mm-hmm. you know, if they want to go to that college route, that's, you know, most likely that happens. And, you know, so I really just wanted to stay back home and enjoy high school, all the people I grew up with and the positive coaches I had. And so, you know, obviously just very happy with my decision, how everything turned out, but it was definitely tough because I knew that point that, you know, college hockey and what I kind of thought I was going to always do is, you know, not impossible, but it probably wasn't probable. But yeah, that's kind of the root behind the decision.
Got it. Yeah. I'd love to hear your recruiting story for Cornell. I mean, you're heading into your senior year, so I think you were recruited before the rule change of the junior year. I'd love to hear your story of, you know, how you went about, getting into D1 lacrosse.
Yeah. So, you know, the nice part about being in upstate New York is a lot of, you know, the college coaches scene, you know, it's a hotbed. And so traditionally there's a lot of good players that come out of, you know, our region. And so, you know, luckily I didn't have to do the whole, you know, I call it the crazy travel scene now. Mm-hmm. I feel like the travel lacrosse scene is just exploded into a ton of different directions. And, you know, there's showcases and tournaments and all-star games every weekend. And so luckily I didn't have to do that whole, you know, kind of carousel. Really, I was pretty fortunate just that I played on a local Rochester travel team and, you know, didn't do any of the national showcases or anything like that, but I was fortunate to have a high school team that went and was pretty successful, you know, in the New York State, like public school level. And so, you know, I was recruited kind of late before, you know, now it seems early, you know, cause you can't receive any, you know, communication to your junior and all that. But, you know, at the time, you know, there was kids in my year committing seventh and eighth grade. You know, that was obviously before the rule change. And so compared to them, I was a pretty late recruit. You know, I was sophomore fall. Yeah. Going into my sophomore fall, is when I first went and visited Cornell, and, they had seen me previously in the state finals in my freshman year of high school. And so, you know, the following summer I went and visited, and I didn't have any intention of going to Cornell. I had no idea what Cornell was about. I just, you know, the stereotypical Ivy League, like, that's kind of really the only thing I knew about it. I knew it was only an hour and a half away, and, you know, I was anticipating going somewhere south, far away from home. But, yeah, just, I went there and visited, and, you know, obviously just fell in love with the place, and, yeah, just really happy. And it's crazy how things turn out. And, you know, here we are 5 years later almost, and, just really blessed and excited to have one more year. And so, yeah.
Awesome. What was it about the campus or the team that really drew you in?
Yeah. I think that what a lot of the reasons, you know, we always tell, and part of our culture and program is, you know, we tell people, or, you know, potential recruits, even now, you know, it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. You know, there's times where it's going to suck. And I think the cool part about our program though, is that everyone knows it's going to be hard, and they gladly choose it because of, you know, the culture and the team and the players that are there, and the people that are involved with the program. And that's what makes it really enjoyable, is knowing that there's 50 guys on the team that, you know, cut from the same cloth, very similar, and mm-hmm. you know, what our values are. And I think that was the big thing, was, you know, these guys all, you know, very similar backgrounds to myself, and, you know, have a lot in common as far as characteristics and how they go about their lives and carry themselves. And I think that was the big attractor and reason that I knew it was going to be a fit.
Nice. That's awesome. And what, you know, that's fortunate to grow up where you did. So it sounds like a lot of times I encourage goalies to, you know, they have to make the highlight tapes and like start sending them to the coaches, and you're right, attend some of these tournaments that might mean some travel because the coaches are going to be there. It sounds like because of, you know, your team's success, you're able to get on those coaches' radars without doing all that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Nice. And I was very just lucky to have that experience in high school, and, you know, not have to do the crazy travel where, you know, you're going every or a different state every weekend. And, you know, I honestly, for much of my travel summer experience, I would still play attack, and we only had, you know, a handful of kids. So as those hot summer days were on, you know, I would have to come out and play attack for, you know, a couple quarters just to give everyone a rest a little bit. So, you know, it wasn't much of a seriously super highly competitive summer. It was more of, you know, just playing the game and having fun. And I think that was a cool thing. And and like I said, luckily I could, you know, coaches could see me as I just played goalie throughout my high school, and that was pretty cool.
Beauty. I was going to ask, you know, Ivy League's tough academically. I don't know, you know, how your grades were in high school, but I remember, like, I had good grades in high school myself, and then I went to Cal. And like, I remember, you know, going into some of these classes, and now you're like competing with this whole new, it's kind of like lacrosse. Like, you know, you move up right into this level, you're competing with this whole new level of kids, and you're like, God, these guys are smart. How was it academically for you attending an Ivy League college?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's definitely tough. There's no way around it. Like it's not, you know, there's something to be said though for, you know, if you do get accepted, obviously playing lacrosse, it helps, you know, with admissions, but, you know, they wouldn't allow you to come to the school if they didn't think you had the capability or, you know, the potential to make it in the classroom. And, you know, I think in high school, my teachers did a good job preparing me. And so I think there's something to be said though, no matter what college you go to, what level, you know, if you're worried about the next level of education or whatever, you know, as long as you give it your best, you try hard, the professors and the sports staff, they'll accommodate you. They'll help you out. They'll realize, they'll see the effort that you're putting forth. And, I think that was a big thing that I learned was, you know, you could be struggling in a class, but as long as you're trying, you know, people will help you out. They'll work with you, and, you know, just stay tough on your academics, and things will take care of itself.
Yeah. and use the resources that you have available. I imagine as a D1 athlete, like, you guys have access to tutors or things like that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's an amazing resource.
Great job. Right? Yeah. Cornell does a great job, you know, through the athletic department for, you know, the athletes, helping them find tutors if they need it, you know, mm-hmm. study hall, you know, it was a mandatory thing for freshmen on our team. And so, you know, like I said earlier, as long as you're out there and you're trying, and it's, you know, you're not sleeping through class and you're actually going, you're making an effort to, you know, talk to the professor if you need help. You know, I think that's a huge thing for college level success in academics.
Yeah. What have you learned about school life, lacrosse, work balance?
Yeah, I think that's another thing. As you know, as you come in college as a freshman, you know, this is the first time where lacrosse, it's a job, you know, it's, right. you know, 6 hours a day, every day. And, you know, for me, I just got home, you know, we went mid January and I just got home, you know, the first weekend of June. So from January to June, that's just in season stuff. And, you know, that's 6 hours a day from January to June for however many months. And, so it's crucial to really, you know, prioritize, all right, I got class here, I got meetings and practice later, I got to get my homework done. All right. And then I got to reset for the next day. Because as soon as you start, you know, maybe, hey, I'll do the reading, you know, tomorrow, or I'll do this paper, whenever, that's where everything kind of starts to fall apart. You know, specifically, you know, from a mental side, if you're worried about a paper you have to do tonight, that's definitely going to affect your performance in practice, or, you know, in your lift with the team or with a team meeting or anything like that. So, it's crucial that you just got to really take care of your stuff and take care of all the things, you know, you have to do. And there's no question that sometimes you're going to be overwhelmed, but you really got to try to prioritize it. And because I think once one thing starts to overlap, whether that's school, then your lacrosse is affected and vice versa. So,
yeah. Wow. 6 hours a day, 6 hours a day. Break it down for me. What are we doing in those 6 hours?
Yeah. So, I mean, anywhere from in season, it's obviously off season stuff. We have some Ivy League rules that restricts us, but you know, I guess 6 hours just from time you get to the locker room to time you leave is, you know, some are more, some are less depending on class time, but, you know, anywhere my schedule during the season, I guess, or during the week, during the season is anywhere from getting shots for about an hour, you know, from early morning to midday. And then usually we'll have, a practice around 3 to 5-ish, for about 2 hours. We'll have maybe a meeting before that. And then usually a lift afterwards. So, when you add it up after it's all said and done, it sometimes gets up there with hours, and we like to give coach the business sometimes about how long we're there, but it's all worth it at the end of the day. So,
yeah, that's awesome. And just for comparison, so I played in the MCLA and we would do like 2 hour practices a day, but that was pretty much it. And some guys like would get together and lift on their own, in season and work kind of outside of practice, but that was all, you know, all voluntary.
Yeah.
So just a difference. Interesting. When you get to Cornell, does your goalie game change? And if so, like, you know, what kind of things did you learn and how did you adjust?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was knowing that everyone shoots faster and more accurate. And so you really got to be just kind of ready at all times and really focus on the fundamentals. I think that's the big thing. I thought when I got to college, we're going to do all these crazy fancy drills and, you know, talk about the high complex, thoughts about the game. And honestly, it was the opposite. We just went and, you know, we stepped the arc or worked on our positioning. We did, just positioning drills. We did, reaction drills and just a ton of live shots really. And it was just hammering the fundamentals of stepping and positioning in the net and being square. And I think that was one thing that I just kept on doing and focusing on was fundamentals. And, luckily it's allowed me to be where the position I'm at now. And, I think that was the big thing is sometimes we like to overcomplicate things and, you know, talk about these high level skills. And really it's just, if you do the fundamentals well and you're square to the ball and you're patient and you step to it, you're probably going to make a lot of saves. And so I think that's something for all young goalies to realize is that, You know, you don't have to be the most gifted or most skilled or most athletic. If you just do the little things right, you're probably gonna have some success in there.
Yeah. I've said that quite a bit. Yeah. It's like the elite guys and girls for that matter, like they're elite because they've mastered the fundamentals, not because they're doing these like advanced techniques that you haven't learned yet. Right. Yeah. It's the same exact thing that you learn when you're 8, 9, 10 years old. They've done it so much that now it's sort of like, it's just built into your muscle memory. Right.
Definitely.
Yeah. What about though, and I'm sure this has happened to you, when you go through a slump, right? Little period of time where you just, for whatever reason, not seeing the ball, could be a specific type of shot, could just be any shot. What do you do in that situation?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of that is, you know, if you got to be in the right mental headspace for sure. And I think if you're going through a slump, it's so crucial to not, you know, don't get down on yourself and get mad at yourself. You know, everyone makes mistakes. You're not trying to let the ball in. You know, your teammates know that. And I think, you know, even this year I had a couple games where, you know, just was below average and not playing my best or what I was capable of. And, you know, the biggest thing, it was good to go through that. You know, it sucked, but it was good growing pains, really. It was just realizing that, hey, I know I'm doing everything I can right now and I'm sticking to the basics. I'm trying my best. You know, it's not a lack of effort. It's just sometimes that's how it goes. And sometimes the shooter will hit some good shots and they'll hit them consistently. And, you know, the biggest thing is just stay the course, relax, and try to get back to having fun. I think that was the biggest thing after, you know, a couple bad games. And I just was taking it way too seriously. Just you're out there having fun and playing with your best buddies. Like, you know, it's okay. Relax. It's all going to work out. There's worse things in the world going on right now than, you know, letting in a couple goals. So, I think that was a huge thing for me. It was not getting down on myself and, you know, still believing in being confident in myself. It's just, you run into some bad luck sometimes.
Yeah. It's a great perspective. Yeah. I remember there was this young kid that emailed me the other day and he was going through a slump and I was almost congratulating him, like, congrats, like on going through this, like, because you're going to go through a slump at some point in your lacrosse goalie career. You just are, right? Yeah. And great. You're going through one now and you're going to learn how to get through it so that like when you go through the next one, you're like, cool, I've been through this. Right. Yeah. I know how to manage these rocky waters.
Yeah. And it's a life skill, really. Like you're going to, whatever it is, it could be your job. It could be your personal life. It could be anything. If you know, you're going through a slump, it's fine. You know, as long as you can be honest with yourself, you know, I have a great, like, there's a man in the mirror quote pretty much. And it's pretty much just says that, you know, if you can live with yourself and your actions and your effort, you know, and you can be content with that, you know, there's nothing that you should be ashamed of. It's, you know, sometimes you're not going to be successful and that's okay.
Yeah. Such a life skill. I mean, you're going to take losses everywhere. And even as a lacrosse goalie, right? I mean, you take losses in the games, giving up a goal is a loss. And so you got to deal with, like, you got to be able to deal with those losses and stack the wins. I love it. You mentioned there's a man in the mirror quote. Is that like a book or you're not talking about the MJ song, are you?
No, I can try to look it up real quick. If that would help.
Is it a book?
No, it's just a quote my high school hockey coach actually gave to me. So
got it. Got it. All right. I didn't know if it was from the song.
No. It's similar. It's pretty much just saying like that. You know, as long as you can look yourself in the mirror and be okay with the product you did today or whatnot, then yeah. So
that's good. That's a good one. It reminds me of this other mental game lesson. It's sort of a question about like when you do suffer a loss, like you ask yourself, did I do everything that I could have done? Right. And you know, if the answer is no, like, then that's on you, right? That's on you. If you didn't do everything to prepare, then yeah, like that's on you. But if you did, right, if you've done everything you did for that test and it still didn't go well, if you did everything you could to prepare for that game and it still didn't go well, then you know what? You got to shake that one off and move on.
Yeah. Kinda reminds me of that. It's, you know, you're not going to win everything in life. And especially in our position, it's a, you know, small ball in a big net and you don't have much to stop it. But, you know, like if you did everything you possibly could in preparation and focus you know, your effort. That's at the end of the day, no one can be mad at you for that. You can't be mad at yourself for that.
Yeah. Love it. Your freshman year, if I'm not mistaken, you end up getting starts, end up earning the starting job. Was that a surprise for you?
Yeah. I mean, it's cool going in as a freshman to, go and, you know, play right away. And obviously that's something you dream of, and not many kids get to do that. You know, you obviously want to play in college and you have ambitions and dreams of being successful. It's just, you know, obviously I came into a situation at Cornell where, you know, our Christian Knight, you know, he'd started for all four of his years at Cornell and, you know, one of the best goalies. And so, you know, he graduated. So there really wasn't a starter coming back or, you know, a clear guy. And so, you know, the biggest thing in Cornell's program is just kind of competing no matter what spot you are on the depth chart. And so I think that's an approach that I tried to apply, you know, to my position and, you know, I luckily got some starts and had some success. And so, I, you know, gradually moved through and played, the remainder of the season that freshman year. And, you know, it was, you know, good to come back to after sophomore year and play again. And, you know, obviously COVID shut us short, but yeah.
Yeah. I was going to ask about that. Oh, by the way, I see your cat in the background. Yeah. There. I was going to ask if you're a cat.
No, it's my sister's cat. She's at school right now. So she's meowing, trying to get out, but, that's all right.
No worries. How was that COVID year for you? I mean, obviously it's brutal for, you know, everyone had troubles, but, you know, especially being in the Ivy League, you not only lost one season, like a lot of kids did, you lost two. You know, how was that for you and how did you kind of, you know, recover from that loss?
Yeah, that was really tough. Cause we, you know, after a freshman year where we came off the previous year, my senior year, of high school, Cornell went and they lost to Maryland, ironically, in the quarterfinals, that year. And so, you know, the next year coming in freshman year, we had a lot of expectations. And I think, you know, we kind of let that get to us a tad and, you know, had a, I don't want to say a lackluster year, but, you know, we didn't make the tournament and, you know, we were kind of one of those bubble teams that maybe should have been in, shouldn't have been in. And it was tough, you know, when our names weren't called on that selection show. And so then going back sophomore year, I think everyone was, you know, a little bit hungrier, a little bit more focused, a little bit more driven. And, you know, we had a great start. We were 5-0 and then obviously, the pandemic came and shut everybody down and just a roller coaster of emotions. You know, on Monday, you think you're playing Yale for your first Ivy League game of the year. And, you know, it's going to be a great game. And then Wednesday you're told you have to leave and go back home to, for who knows when. So, just a real tough break for everybody. And, you know, luckily at that point I was a sophomore and so it was really tough for the seniors that had future jobs and had things that they couldn't really pass up on. And, you know, their last, you know, 12, 13 games of their careers were just kind of taken from them. So, you know, going into that summer and obviously pandemic, not much is open and kind of working through what's going to be the fall or what's the fall is going to be like. And, you know, a lot of just uncertainty and, you know, having a ton of questions and not many answers. It's kind of, you know, that's where you go back to your roots and your training and just try to focus on maybe the next day or trying to get a little bit better each time or each day and just work in the dark almost. And, you know, gradually we knew we were going to play eventually. And so we come back in the fall and, you know, it was still masks and, you know, online classes and we had sporadic workouts. We could only do it for like 30 to 45 minutes. And, so it was a little bit of a mess and everyone was just trying to figure out ways to play and be together, you know, with the rules and all the guidelines. And, it was tough to manage that flow and, you know, being that holding pattern really for a while. And then, you know, obviously as the semester got, you know, further on and progressed, you know, we didn't hear officially if we were playing or not. And, you know, still, there's the cat again. and then, you know, we're still trying to figure out if we're going to play or not. And gradually it got to February time and we're still not playing. And, you know, I think Big Tens and ACC schools almost had their first games and we're like, what's going on? So, So it was just a weird time and a lot of uncertainty, but they eventually ended up canceling it and calling it. And, you know, again, your heart bleeds for those seniors. Cause you know, at the time then I'm only a junior, I still have another chance. And, you know, luckily I could take the semester off and kind of prolong eligibility, but still, you know, for those seniors, it's a tough thing for someone just to take it from you. You know, it's not like you lost a game. It's not like you had a chance. It's just, you know, someone said no. And I think that's something that we brought through those 2 years, was that at any moment, you know, that your opportunity to play, it could be taken from you outside of your control. And so I think this year specifically, that was something that we played with and carried that, you know, on our sleeves, really is just that, you know, could be taken at any time. So just go out there and play your hardest.
Yeah. Love it. What'd you do for that semester? I'm curious. The semester off,
I was back here actually in Rochester. I was substitute teaching and, just working out and trying to go to as much lacrosse as I could. I went to a local D3 school, Nazareth College. I went kind of helped out and just was around the game and, coach Rob Randall there. He's a good family friend. So I was just like, hey coach, I'm in town. You know, if you need anybody to warm up goalies or anything like that, let me know. And so luckily I could kind of go and help them out a little bit. And so that was awesome just to be around the game and kind of play with those guys and see what they had going on. But, yeah, it was a lot of just, you know, time of my own on the wall and, trying to get to as many goalie, camps and clinics as I could and, you know, try to find guys that were willing to shoot on me. So, yeah, a lot of miles on the car, but, it was worth it.
And congrats on a great season, 2022, You guys make it to the finals, obviously don't pull it out. I feel like if you had another, we could talk about that in a second, but I feel another half of a quarter, you guys would have done it. You know, but, I got some saves. I wonder if I could share my screen. We could kind of just talk through some saves.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Hang on a second. First of all, I would love to hear the experience of playing in the national championship game, just kind of the run up to it. I imagine, you know, it's a wonderful moment. You know, a special moment. But you know, just in your words, you know, what was this final four weekend all about?
Yeah. I mean, it's something that I think all across fans and growing up. And I think, you know, if you have the opportunity to go as a kid and, or take your, you know, players or, you know, as parents try to take your kids to experience it. Cause it's something that I went to and, my entire youth career, we'd always go and play in the youth tournaments that are kind of in the surrounding area at the time and then go to the games. And it was just a really cool experience then to be a part of it and play in those games. And, you know, that's your dream to be in that, situation and play in that atmosphere. And so it was just really cool. Honestly, I don't think it's really sunk in yet. You know, I think I'm still, kind of processing everything and you know, in the moment you're just thinking, okay, it's another, you know, especially the NCAA tournament, it's just another away game. You're traveling to a different location and, you know, you're just playing a different team at a different venue. And I think that's a cool mindset to have, but, you know, now looking back on it, it's really cool to see that, you played in the biggest game of the year and, you know, unfortunately didn't go our way, but, you know, I think in the future, it's a good experience to take with you.
Yeah. And do you have like media wise, you have to do like interviews with Quint and Paul and Anish and all those guys how does that work?
Yeah. So we had some interviews lined up, when we got in there, we had a Friday practice, before the semis. So we had some media, some video obligations and stuff like that. You know, they asked us some funny questions for the Jumbotron during the game. And, you know, that was cool experience. Obviously, you know, you try not to get too sidetracked, but, still, nonetheless, it's a cool experience to have. And then, you know, after we won on Saturday, we went and had some media stuff on Sunday, just kind of interviews and talking about, you know, what do you think about the game and the matchups and all that. So, just some cool experience, you know, once you look back on it to be like, yeah, that was one of the highs for sure.
Yeah. The game starts. You got nerves?
Yeah. I mean, definitely nerves, more just really, just being happy that you're there. Like I said earlier, it's kind of what you look forward to and grow up wanting to be at and in those games. And so my biggest thing was just try to have fun out there and, you know, just enjoy the moment, just really soak everything in from, you know, the weather and the fans and the game and everything.
Yeah. Love it. Have you always been, number 22 or why'd you pick that number?
So I was at, or in lacrosse, I was always actually in both sports. I was really 33. That was my hockey goalie number. And so I was always 33. And then when I got to high school, 33 was, there was a kid older than me that had it. And so I just, 22 was available. Obviously I knew Mikey Powell and I knew, the Syracuse 22 and all that. And I was like, you know what, I think it'd be pretty cool if a goalie took this. Kind of just stuck with it. And, luckily I got to Cornell and 22 was still an option. So I just kind of stuck with it.
Love it. That's funny. It is kind of weird how in different sports, different numbers are kind of like famous, right? Like the 22 is pretty famous in lacrosse. I live in Argentina where there's a lot of soccer and number 10 is like, the most important number in soccer.
Exactly.
And then, it's a pretty hot day, but you got the long sleeve going. Is that just kind of, you feel good with that or.
Yeah, that's just like a long sleeve that I've had. And I think is, I guess it's just like a good luck long sleeve sort of thing. Just kind of a superstition. Mm-hmm. I wore it throughout the year and had some success. So I decided to keep it. Took off the sweats for this day just because it was going to be so hot. So I rocking with the shorts, but I'm usually a sweatpants goalie.
Nice.
That changed the last couple of games of the year as, we kind of got on a hot streak. I don't want to change it up that much.
Yeah. And is this a calf sleeve or is that a pad or what do you got?
Yeah, it's just like a hex pad. I get hit a bunch just in my legs. And so obviously there was just had a little bruising. So tried to keep it on there and, battle through it. But, none of the shots hurt that day. Luckly is,
oh kinda, yeah, you got
so much
adrenaline
is just so much fun.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Yeah. I mean, if you get hit, you got to throw on a pad to.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Out,
All right. Let's check it out here.
He didn't see the ball movement at the hyper speed we're accustomed to throughout the season.
Wisnowski's had the matchup.
Nice save. First save of the game. That's got to feel, for you anyways, that's got to feel really good, huh? Talk me through this one.
Well, the first one was when they won the opening faceoff and just brought it down to hit me in the shoulder. So I was at this point, I was like, it always helps getting your first save and just getting kind of into the game. But no, this one was good. Just being, it was a good location and, we had just scored one. And so, it was right off hip and just kind of tried to stay patient and just react to it. And, kind of got a good piece right off my kind of hip, like stick area. So I forgot where it hit, but felt good. That it was offside low or offside hip and just kind of try to stay patient on it. And yeah, got a piece of it.
Yeah. I mean, those are tough saves, right? I mean, that's the toughest save for a righty is that off stick hip. I mean, for lefty too, but to that location. So that's a good save. All right. I missed a save.
No, that's okay. Yeah, that's all right.
All right. Let's check out this next play here. I don't know. Do you know the other goalie, Logan, at all?
Yeah, I do know Logan pretty well. He's an upstate kid. He's from Corning, actually. So awesome kid. So I grew up playing against him and then, cross paths with him, just did a bunch of stuff, for our lacrosse careers as he was coming up.
Great goalie as well.
Yeah. He had so many saves. He definitely, in my opinion, it won that game for them for sure. He had 19 saves and was just, lights out. So it's always tough going up against the hot goalie for sure.
Yeah. I mean, especially Maryland's got all these offensive weapons and it's almost unfair. Yeah. Like that they have a goalie that just has such an amazing tournament.
No, he's a really good goalie. And unfortunately for us, chose a bad time to have a good game,
Yeah. All right, so let's check this one
DeMail,
out.
Here. He's got three already. That one turned away by Erwin.
This save, he runs in, ends up shooting it low, and it's all legs, right? I mean, at that point, at that point, he's in so close and kind of shoots it so quick. Is that kind of the technique that you use, or is it just like, man, in the moment, like get whatever you can on the ball?
Yeah, I think just going down this alley, a lot of times goalies might drift off the near side or, might come out and not be set and square. And I think that sometimes an offensive player can get more net is sometimes we like to move out of the way of the shot, You know, not on purpose, but, you know, going back to sometimes we overthink it a little bit. And I think the biggest thing is just stay big on this pipe. You know, he doesn't have much net to shoot at. So if you move too much, you might give him more. And so as soon as I kind of saw his stick and the ball go low, I knew it was going low, and I was pretty happy with that shot location. And, mm-hmm. You know, felt like I could get there and make a stop.
Nice. Let's check this one out right here.
One more time. Looking to feed Khan on the other side. Instead, it comes to Dom Doria.
I actually thought, well, first time I saw that, I thought it was a shot, but it's actually a pass. Like he's going to feed the guy on the far side there. And it's kind of funny because when I pause it right here, you're like looking right at that.
At that guy. Yeah, because that's what I anticipated. You know, there's a lot of, you know, good offenses find those good spots to score. And, you know, a lot of that is just a backside pipe or, you know, just a pass right across the crease to a wide open net. So I know this kid, he's a pretty good shooter and likes to shoot from X. And so, you know, as soon as I saw him try to pass, I just kind of kept my stick there and got a piece, but obviously the reaction and naturally just, you know, I'm ready to make the next move to go over to that pipe. Mm-hmm. But luckily I felt it in my stick. And so I was like, okay, stole one here and try to get it up and out.
Yep. And earn a possession. I mean, it's just as good as a save, you know?
Exactly.
Long. Donville looking to.
Yeah, this is an interesting play. So I think this guy used to be on your team, right?
Yeah, Donnie. Yeah. So he's a good buddy of mine. He was a team captain for us and, you know, one of my good friends. And, you know, unfortunately, that's a tough part about the whole COVID situation and, you know, all the Ivy League rules and stuff. You know, they didn't really allow him to come back at all to finish his career at Cornell, which is unfortunate. And so, you know, happy for him that he could go and finish out his career, unfortunately, with a win against us. But, you know, nonetheless, I still like the guy. But, you know, growing playing with him for a while, you know, he's a really good and skilled Canadian guy. And so I knew, you know, he kind of likes to keep it in his right and, you know, bring it in front of his face, but then quick, you know, bring it back across and maybe a little twist or over the top. And so I kind of knew just from the positioning and the low angle, you know, nature of it that, you know, once he brought that high, it's going to be tough for him to, you know, maybe go low. And so kind of just waited for that and stayed patient and waited for that high shot and just kind of jumped up and hit me. So,
yeah, that is interesting. You got to have the advantage when you go against someone you've played with and practice every single day for years. I mean, there's guys on my team that I knew, or there's one guy that I knew, like I don't think he ever shot right-handed. Like in his entire 4-year career. So I'd be like, never get beat lefty by this guy. Like he just drives right to set up his left. So always, you know, you gotta have that advantage.
It definitely helps seeing, you know, that's why I think a good, you know, something that it's never a bad thing to just go get shot on by whoever. Cause I think the more you see certain releases and the more you see, you know, certain players shoot, you know, the more success you'll have against them for sure.
Yeah. All right. That's actually a really good point. I sort of brushed over that, but that's a very good point. It's like the more types of shots you see, the more you're like, all right, I've seen this before, maybe not from this guy or girl, but I've seen, you know, when they've got the stick in their left hand and they're driving down the alley, they got to bring it back to the right and they're going to shoot high. And so I've seen that. I've made that save.
Yeah.
Save Erwin.
Yeah, I don't know if there's much to talk about on this one. I mean, that's just, you know, you great positioning. You see it go low, make a nice save. Anything you'd add there?
No, yeah, I think it was just nice. You know, I think a cool thing about just kind of being engaged in the game and focus is just knowing the time score situation. And, you know, I knew there wasn't a ton of time left. And so, you know, I was pretty happy with this shot. It was outside. And so I, you know, just kind of waited on it and stepped to it.
Yep. And then you fire one. You had a goal earlier in the tournament and you got dreams of going at it again.
Yeah.
You put it on cage, but it was not to be.
I knew it was just short clock. So I tried to get it up there and might next time maybe put a little lower, but nonetheless, those are tough to make. So
you just padded Logan's stats right there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
all right.
jerseys, number 21, everywhere around the program. Here comes Brennan, saved by Erwin.
Nice save. On this one, and by the way, if you got the audio, I should probably describe these. I mean, the guy comes running in, kind of a little bit of a, maybe a late slide, but at this point, you know, the slide does come and he kind of drops his hands. Like at that, it kind of seems like at that point, like you realize like, all right, he's going low. Is that, am I right in that?
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of it, you know, on these tight, you know, almost one on O's and, you know, the shots within, you know, 7 to 8 yards, it's tough, right? The ball's going pretty fast and, you know, there's not a lot of, you know, there's a ton of net for you to cover and, you know, not a lot of you to get there. So, I think if you can try to, you know, play your percentages really in the probability, you know, as soon as he drops that stick low, he's probably going to go low. It's going to be tough, especially with a guy on his back and a guy in front to maybe bring that back up. And so, you know, I think as soon as I saw that, I'm like, okay, he's probably going low and then kind of just wait as much as you can. And then, you know, just try to be athletic and put something on it. So luckily got a piece there and, you know,
yeah. One thing I wanted to ask you about, I don't know if you do this just naturally, but if you kind of watch your positioning right here, like you're against the pipe and then he takes maybe one or two steps more and you kind of do like a little sideways hop and get, you know, kind of to adjust your positioning, right? You see that?
Yeah.
That's something you do, you know, that you've practiced, or is that just, you know, natural instinct?
Yeah. I've tried to play more flatter, like on the shots maybe coming from X or, you know, these where they come across. You know, come across the crease and, just it's, I think it makes it easier for shooters when a goalie comes out. Cause now, you know, a lot of times you just really have to put it around the goalie if they're playing out high and, you know, they kind of attack you. And I think it's easier for guys, you know, offensive players to just, you know, maybe make one move and just put it around you and the whole net's open. And so I've been trying to play it more flat and kind of play flatter along the goal line in those in tight moments. The hop, I wasn't really trying to do it, but more of just getting flat across as soon as he kind of comes across the net and try to match that, I think has helped me make some more of those saves for sure.
Got it. I just realized why my timestamps were all off. I was looking at the wrong notes. So we're back.
That's
we're
okay.
Back.
No
I got
worries.
The right notes now. Yeah.
Kyle Long, he'll fire.
nut shot or upper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was right, like kind of right, not right on, but kind of more at my hip. But I wear a hockey goalie cup.
Yeah.
So it's
the double cup.
And yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, it was luckily, I mean, hey, it hit me dead square. So I guess good position save. But yeah, we'll take those.
Good position save. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't like, I've worn those ice hockey cups. I mean, you don't feel much. I don't know if it got you in the wrong spot, but I like to me, like a lot of kids say that's the worst spot to get hit. I was like, no, there's way worse spots to get hit.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree. It's not, you know, you don't feel that much. It's just kind of, you know, natural instinct. If something's, you know, going that direction, you know, it's kind of,
yeah, like, you kind of give it a little, ooh.
Yeah. You're like, okay, you kind of, you know, a little bit more cautious in that area.
Yeah. Love it. 605.
Gepper fire save Erwin. He's keeping.
How do you feel about taking shots from long poles? For me, it was like because I didn't like it. I didn't like it one bit.
Yeah.
I didn't like it one bit because you don't practice it that much, unfortunately. Yeah. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I honestly, I'm not too. I mean, it's tough. I think sometimes you know, if you're having a good game and you're getting hot, like, you know, you'll stop anything.
Yeah.
But it's always tough seeing like a pole shot, like, early on, like, you know, first couple faceoffs of the game or, you know, anything like that, where you're not really set and, you know, all the shots you've seen so far from a short stick from your coach or anything like that. So, I think the biggest thing though, is what's helped me maybe save more long pole shots, is just, you know, not freaking out at the fact, okay, it's a long pole. Yeah. They're probably going to shoot harder. But it still doesn't change the fact that the ball's got to come out of their stick. Yeah. The release point is a little different. And so I think once I started focusing on the release point and not, you know, holy smokes, this is going to be really fast. I think that little mindset change has helped me kind of stay patient and be like, okay, the stick's going to, or the ball's going to come out a little bit differently. And you probably will have, you know, more time to see it just because the stick's so far away from their body. And so it's not, you know, really hidden. And so if you can just find that head of the stick, maybe the trajectory or the ball is going to come out a little different, but, you know, just be patient. You'll see it and, you know, you'll have an opportunity to at least make a save.
Great points. Yeah. By the way, did you make a save like on this one or to hit the pipe? Cause it comes off hard.
It hit me right. Like, almost in like my left glove. So like off hip kind of.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Cool. And then finally.
Circles the cage. Murphy doesn't get it. Erlinden.
What a play. I mean, six minutes left in the national championship game. Like in the last save, it was like 9-2, I think. Now it's 9-6. And like you guys have scored four straight and, you know, you get a chase out like unbelievable. Is this always a part of your game?
Yeah, no, this is definitely, again, another thing that we pride ourselves at Cornell, was just, you know, it's, you know, we call these 21 plays and you know, they're named after, a teammate of ours, George Boriarty, or a player in a program that, he passed away in 2004 and, is a crucial, you know, part of our program and our culture and kind of what Cornell lacrosse is about. And, you know, these are the type of plays, you know, we reward and we recognize kind of the effort, you know, not necessarily the result. You know, that's a defender getting in the way of a shot or runouts. I think these plays are, you know, effort. Luckily we got this one, but there's plenty of times that, you know, not just myself, but my other defensemen have ran and dove and tried to get end lines and they haven't gone our way. But, that's kind of the culture that we like to play with, is just always, you know, effort based and input based and, you know, trying your hardest and just competing. And so, you know, after it hit me, I said, you know, okay, I think I know where this is going and kind of just took off and, just tried to get there and luckily got a good call. So.
Yeah. And the dive is so key. It's so key. It's like an effort. It's an effort thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, like you dove, he didn't, or I mean, he actually ends up diving, but not until the ball is like 5 feet out of bounds.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes that dive, the refs reward the effort. So love it. Well, you guys don't end up winning. Like I said, at the beginning, you know, it was 9-2 and now it's 9-7. I feel like if you had another 6 minutes, it would have been a different story, but great game.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, it was good as unfortunate result, but, you know, that's why you play. We definitely had some chances and they capitalized on theirs and, you know, hats off to them. They're a good team. And so, you know, just a cool experience in overall and in general. I really can't describe it yet. It really hasn't sunk in yet, but
yeah. Cool. Love it. By the way, I interviewed Matt McMonagall, 2007 Cornell goalie of the year. And he told the whole story of George Boriarty. So if folks want to, listen to that story, unbelievable story. I'll see what episode that is real quick. Episode 99, go check that one out. With Matt. Great. Do you know Matt?
I've met him, I believe, at just some of our like Cornell like alumni stuff and just, you know, being through the program. It's cool to see that generation of players, you know, the 2000s, 2010s, you know, cause they had a really deep connection with George and, obviously Coach Moran and so it's just cool to hear their stories and their experiences about, you know, kind of the foundational roots of our program today. So.
Love it. Well, Chase, thank you so much for taking the time, sharing your goalie knowledge with the kids out there and everyone listening. If you had to leave the kids out there with the last piece of advice, what would that be?
I'd definitely go with have fun, you know, enjoy it, you know, be yourself. It's a cool position. It's supposed to be fun. It's a game, right? So, you know, take a deep breath. That's, you know, you got a showcase coming up or, you know, a state finals game or anything like that. Just take a deep breath and enjoy the moment. You're with your friends and just go have fun and play free.
Very well said. Chase, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So there you have it. Hope you enjoyed that episode. It's Cornell goalie Chase Ireland. He'll be coming back for another season to try and take the Big Red all the way back to the Promised Land National Championship where they got this year. Will be fun to watch. Will definitely be fun to watch. Awesome to hear
his story and hear some of the behind the scenes of the national championship game and what it's like to play on such a large stage. Like I said, it will be awesome to watch him in the upcoming season. Hope you enjoyed that episode. Hope you learned a thing or two. As I mentioned at the beginning, you can still get the Lacrosse Goalie Summit 7 replays, laxgoalierat.com/VIP. Highly recommend you check that out. Some amazing, amazing coaching sessions on all topics, really. That'll do it this week. We'll be back next week with another episode. In the meantime, get out there, get some work in, do well and be well. I'm Coach Damon. Take care.
You've been listening to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast with your host, Coach Damon Wilson.